rolls to his left, stops, points downfield. Now stiff arms a Viking to the ground and throws on the run. Pass to a wide open Devarius Thomas. Inside the 20. DT inside the 15. Breaks a tackle inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown Denver. Ponder drops a throw. Here comes Dawkins. Wide open receivers. Percy Harvin. Champs is going to get picked off and Harvin's got room to run. 25-20. Steps inside of a tackle. Kyle McCarthy still on his feet. 10-5. Boy, is he dangerous. Touchdown Minnesota. Eye formation. Hand off to McGahee. Patient running through the middle. Makes him the tackle and miss 15-10. Steps out of another tackle. Inside the 5. Leans to the pylon. Touchdown, Denver.
Hey, don't go anywhere, folks. We've got two juggernaut offenses. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Tebow lifts the knee, fakes, keeps the ball. Tim Tebow to the end zone. Two-point conversion successful, and we are tied at 29. Snap and a three-man rush. Ponder in the pocket. Sets, throws, pass. Picked off. Andre Goodman's got it at the 35. Goodman inside the 20. Goodman steps out of bounds. I can't believe he made that throw. The Broncos have the ball. Snap, placement. Prater has it on its way, and Denver has won 5 consecutive games. And they have beaten the Vikings on the last play of the game as Matt Prater from 23 yards out gives the Broncos a 35-32 win.
Dave Logan on the call, highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. And thanks for joining us for another edition of Elway Live here on DenverBroncos.com. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to talk about the Broncos' 35-32 win over the Vikings. And, of course, answer your questions. That's why we're here, to submit them through Twitter using the hashtag Elway Live. Now, the third quarter of the season couldn't have been much better. 4 games, 4 wins. The dust is also now settling from a 5-game stretch that included 4 road trips. The Broncos won all 5. But, John, I think the takeaway from Sunday's win was the fact that this turned into a bit of a shootout, something we haven't seen too much the last few weeks. Back and forth, both teams kept trading scores. For the Vikings, Percy Harvin really carried the load. And for the Broncos offense, something changed coming out of the locker room at halftime. The first drive of the third quarter took all of just under 4 minutes, 9 plays, 78 yards later, there's Demaryius Thomas catching a touchdown. What was different? What did you see the differences between the two halves?
Well, I mean, I think that anytime you go into a football game, you never know exactly what form or shape the game is going to take. And obviously, especially offensively, we struggled early and had the safety on the first play of the game and really struggled that first half. I think we had 19 plays, but I think at halftime, obviously made some good adjustments offensively and got a lot more aggressive coming out of halftime. And Tim made some good throws right off the get-go, and Willis had a couple big runs there. And so we were able to get things going, change momentum a little bit, get back into the football game. And that was crucial with the way the game was going, plus with us having the ball first coming out at half. It was crucial for us to get something going off offensively and get some confidence.
Having to keep up, you talked about Tim, John. 10 starts now for him, 7 of which you've seen up close in the position you're in. How pleased are you now with the progress he's made since he took over this season, and how happy are you with his play right now?
Well, I mean, I'm very happy with it. I think the whole staff is very happy. I think the team is very happy. And I think when you look at it, over the 7 games that he started, we've won 6 of those, and we've won a lot of different ways. And I think that if you look at the Minnesota game, they did a good job against what we're trying to do in the running game, especially with the option plays, and did a good job there and really forced us to throw it. And I think put us in that situation, and Tim did an excellent job of hitting the guys that were open, getting the ball on target, and making some big plays, because it really was a track meet. We had several big plays. Demaryius Thomas had a touchdown catch and a couple other big catches for us. And then Tim scrambling around and making some plays really kept us in the football game.
You talked a couple weeks back, whether it's Tim or any player out there, you and the staff want to see a full season, a full body of work. You want to see how players react getting exposed to different situations, different scenarios. This game, another example of that, how you described it, something that we haven't seen in a little while with how the game played out.
Well, I mean, I think if anything, it gives us the ability and the confidence to know that if we do get in a shootout, we can't keep up. And I think obviously if you look at the 6 previous games before this one, they'd all been low scoring and very, very close football games. And, we've come back from behind in several of those. But I think that, this was a different temperament this game, and the fact that it was a shootout. And I think that, there's not many people out there that thought thought we could win a shootout. And I think that this answered a lot more questions out there, that we could go ahead and if things weren't going well on the defensive side, that we were going to be able to answer the bell offensively, and we were able to do that.
Yeah, and also finding a way to win the game without with Tim starting, he didn't have to use his legs as much as we've seen. What can a 10 for 15, 202, and two scorers do for his confidence as he keeps getting this experience?
Well, I think that it's you know, confidence wise, it's got to be a big boost for Tim. I think that you know, really to silence a lot of people that he can throw the football in situations that when we need him to throw it. And I think that you know, it just goes to show you what a weapon he is. That if they shut down one aspect, whether it be his legs, that he could beat him with his arm, and vice versa. If they're going to drop and make him run the football, he can beat him with his legs. And so I think that's one of the great attributes that Tim has, is that he's got the ability to do both.
Offense got some help early from Mario Hagan. That sets us up for our first question from you fans listening. Crosby Williams, John, he wants to know how happy were you to see Mario Hagan with the kind of game he had, and also when Mario goes out there and makes a play, helps get things going, kind of shows the kind of depth Dennis Allen and Coach Smith have in the linebackers.
Well, and Mario's just a pro. He's been here 3 years now, and obviously he's been, you know, he started last year, and this being his first start this year, I believe that, you know, he stepped in there and really had a tremendous game, really made a lot of plays, and Mario is a guy that can play all the positions at the linebacker position, very smart, and so he really gives us great depth, but also when asked to start like he was against the Vikings, can really come in and have a tremendous game. And so Mario is not only great on the football field, but he's also a great teammate, and guys love to play with him. And so he is one of those guys that gives energy to the defense, and especially when you're out on the field as long as we were on Sunday on the defensive side, he was a guy that was keeping everybody going.
Mario, good with his teammates, good on the field, also really good with the press. I think the press love talking to him when he's in the locker room afterwards. He always has great things to say. Both he and Andre Goodman had interceptions on Sunday that, I mean, just huge plays. Goody's set up the game-winning field goal. Defense, how kind of go through those plays for the fans, because those just were almost turnovers you think the Vikings just hated to give away, considering the field position with the first one, the scenario with the second one. How do those play out, and how does that kind of show where this defense is now?
Well, I think that, you know, even though defensively we're struggling a little bit because they were doing a good job offensively, and Ponder was doing some good things and running the football, with Toby Gearhart, and who is a good back also. I mean, it's they missed Peterson, but Gearhart really came in and ran hard. And I think that anytime you have the struggles defensively, but you're able to make those plays, those are the type of things when you look at any team in the NFL that when they have a winning streak or they're on a roll, they're able to make those big plays within a football game. And I think if you really look at this game was nothing but a bunch of big plays, and especially for us offensively, and then the big play that Goody made at the end of the game to get us in field goal range to be able to lock it up, and also the play that Mario gave us early in the game to keep us in because we were struggling so much on offense. And so, you know, those are the type of things that good things happen to teams that have a playing with a lot of confidence and really are out there, you know, trying to make good things happen instead of waiting for bad things to happen. I think that's the mentality change of a 1-4 start compared to a 5-1 run that we've been on, or the 6-1 run that we've been on the last seven games.
A lot of big plays on offense, a lot of big chunk plays. You heard them in the intro. You'll hear more coming out of this next commercial break. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be right back.
rush. Tebow fakes, sets, throws. He's got Demaryius Thomas. Thomas has got the football. Touchdown, Denver. Tebow sets. He's got Demaryius Thomas wide open. Thomas trying to break a tackle. Can't do it, but spun to the turf inside the Vikings' 30-yard line. Tim pumps and throws. He's got Thomas. Demaryius is there down the sideline. First down, Denver. Cedric Griffin bumps Thomas out of bounds, but the line of scrimmage will be the Minnesota 28-yard line, a 42-yard completion, the fourth catch of the game for Demaryius Thomas.
Man, it felt good, man. A couple balls came my way, made plays on them, and just felt like the old me from college, so it felt real good, and hopefully just could build up from there.
You know, DT stepped up and made so many huge plays, and you know, that only comes because, you know, they're eyeing Decker a little bit more, and so frees up another guy, you know, but that's what it's all about, you know, on our team is helping the guy next to you, and in, you know, one game or another, you're going to get your opportunity, and today was, you know, DT's opportunity, and he stepped up, and I'm so proud of him, you know, because he's such a great guy, and he works so hard, and, you know, it's fun to see him, you know, have that success.
And again, highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. You also heard from Demaryius Thomas and Tim Tebow from the visitors' locker room at Mall America Field after the game Sunday. We've spent the last couple of weeks, John, talking about big catches from Dante Rosario and Eric Decker. This week, it was DT's turn. He had the best game of his young career, four catches for 144 and two scores. John, I know that's the kind of game Demaryius has been waiting for. Same could be said for you and the staff and the fans.
No question. I think that obviously, you know, with Demaryius being drafted in the first round, there's high expectations of Demaryius, and he had the Achilles in the offseason and hurt the finger when he came back to practice, and so he's starting to get back into the swing of things and really getting more comfortable out there every game. And so, you know, with a target that's 6'3", 230 pounds that can run like him, there's really a bonus for us. And so it was great. Everybody was thrilled to see Demaryius come and make the plays that he made and see Tim have the confidence in him to be able to make those throws to him. And so I think that's going to be a relationship that you'll continue to see grow between Tim and Demaryius.
And this is kind of how he made a name for himself back at Georgia Tech. He was making these long gain catches. He averaged a lot of yards per catch. You can obviously see why he was comfortable with these kind of plays, especially when he went 20 yards with guys flying around him. He found a way to get into the end zone after Tim scrambled around for a
really
while.
Really did, and I think that, you know, he's a big target, and so, and Tim's got confidence in him, especially, you know, with the touchdown pass, the first touchdown that had too deep, and with the speed that Demaryius has, is able to get back and put the safety in a real bind. Eric Decker was going down the middle and really put that safety in a bind, and Timmy made a great read on both those plays and then and completed one for the touchdown and then for the long gain. And then, you know, Timmy made it happen on his own. The second play, scrambled around, and Demaryius did a great job of staying alive, finding an opening, and then did a great job with the ball after he caught it and got it in the end zone. So those are exciting things.
Another young player, Orlando Franklin, who's been playing well. Don wants to know, John, it seems like Orlando is playing well for a rookie at his spot, what the coaches are asking him to do. How would you rate how he's doing right now and how he's getting along with the rest of the line?
Well, he just continues to get better and better. And I think that if you look at kind of the philosophy change that we've had, obviously since Tim has been in there, we've gone much more to a running priority on the offense, and where it was, you know, we threw the ball so much early in the season. I think when you look at Orlando's strengths right now, he's a big, strong guy that 320 pounds that does a great job run blocking, and I think that that's where he's really comfortable. So, you know, he's doing a great job in that area, and plus with us running the ball as much, those defensive ends aren't teeing off and pass rushing every down, so it's making him a lot more effective in the passing game also. So he's really grown. We couldn't be happier with Orlando, and he's a guy that really fits in with that offensive line room, and as a rookie has done a great job of fitting in.
Other than wins and losses, Michael Hall's curious. Michael wants to know, what on the field specifically, maybe be it X's and O's or maybe it's confidence, I don't know. Michael wants to know, what do you think has improved the most on the team during this streak, this last seven games? What have you seen other than the wins that really sticks out that's kind of led to this improvement in the record now?
Well, I think there's several things, but I think that number one is the defense has played really well. And, you know, other than, you know, last week against the Vikings, the previous six games before that, they really started playing well and really gave us a chance offensively to kind of get up to speed and learn with Tim and what we're doing offensively. And it gave us a chance to win football games. And then obviously with Tim's mentality and his competitiveness that we got late into the games, he was able to make the plays to come back and allow us to win them. So I think that, you know, number one, the defense has improved dramatically to keep us in football games. And then the offense has just gained with their confidence week in and week out. And then any time you have wins backed on, you know, on top of each other like we have, the confidence is going to grow within the whole team. And everybody's going to have confidence late in the game or during the game that we're going to figure out a way to win. And so the mentality of the whole football team has changed drastically also.
Michael, Don, good questions. We'll get to some more right after a short break with John Elway. I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com.
Cosby 4 yards deep will return the Ryan Longwell kickoff at the 15 to 20. Cosby out over the 25 to 30. Cosby down the sideline, breaks a tackle at midfield. One to beat. He's forced out of bounds by Ryan Longwell, the kicker, but spot him all the way to the Minnesota 41-yard line. So that is 64 yards on the return by Quan Cosby.
Brent Colquitt will try to pin the Vikings back. End-over-end kick, reverse end-over-end kick. Willis is down there. Can he down it? He bats it back as he's right on the goal line, and this is going to work out nicely for Denver. Nice job by Matthew Willis, who touched the ball at about the one, batted it backwards, and it will be down inside the seven.
Here we go. Matt Prater for the tie. Colquitt will spot it far hash at the 36, an attempt of 46 yards by Matt Prater. Snap placement. Prater has it on its way, and it is money.
Our special teams in general has been really consistent this year, and so it is nice to know that, you know, you're not one of those teams that has to go for it on fourth down when you're backed up, like some of the teams in the league. But they just understand that our defense, the way they've been playing, if I give us good field position, then our defense is gonna stand ground.
.850 KOA on the call. You also heard from punter Britton Colquitt. He talked to the press Monday back here at Dove Valley. And John, I don't know if Unsung Hero still qualifies as a way to classify how the special teams are helping the Broncos win right now. Matt Prater continues to make clutch kicks. Quan Cosby had a key return. Remember, Eddie Royal had one last week. And Britton Colquitt keeps swinging the field with his leg and help from guys like Matt Willis, who batted a ball tailing into the end zone back into play. It was eventually down at the Vikings 7-yard line. We talked about this as a game of big plays. Those also were big plays.
Well, it really is. And the special teams have been tremendous the whole year. And I think the reason, you know, one of the big reasons, I think that it goes back to John Fox and his philosophy, and that he really puts an emphasis and the importance on special teams. You have offense, defense. There's three phases: offense, defense, and special teams, and they all have equal weight. And I think a lot of times we take the special teams for granted because there aren't a lot of big plays usually. But they're tremendous teams when it comes down to playing field position and not giving up big plays and not making mistakes in the in the kicking game. And so I think a lot of that goes with John and his philosophy and the fact that he really puts an emphasis on the special teams. And Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator, has done a tremendous job of coordinate that and getting the guys to play hard. And it is an emphasis. And that's one of the easiest ways to make this football team. If you're a backup on this team, it's going to be expected of you to be able to play special teams. And that comes from John's philosophy, which I think you see transcended onto the field week in and week out.
Probably just as hard for Coach Rogers, for Coach Burns, to have no offseason program, to come on in and all of a sudden get these guys into a room, tell them how they want them to play, and to see it working as well as it is right now has to be kind of a testament to how they're coaching and what they're demanding from these players.
It really does, and I think, again, we go back, and they're doing a great job there. Keith Burns, who's been here several years and done a great job also, but, to put the emphasis on, and John puts that emphasis on the special teams, and which he should, and I think that, again, going back to the coaches and the things that they do, and it's a big part of our practice day in and day out also, and so I think you're seeing the results of all the hard work in the special teams, plus it's very helpful to have two great kickers like we have, and Matt Prater, who came in and kicked two crucial field goals last week for us, and then Britton's just been tremendous the whole year and really doing he's got a huge leg when he needs it, and he's also able to put it inside the 20-yard line, which when you look at the percentages of a team that goes 75 yards compared to 85 yards in one drive is a drastic change, and that's why it's so important.
Monty Webster's wondering if does Britton kind of compare? Do you see any comparisons to guys that you used to play with, Tom Ruin, Mike Horan? Do you see anything there? Were these guys, they have pretty big legs and help the team as much as Britton and these special teamers are now?
Yeah, they do. And Mike Horan was a great kicker, left footer, and then Tom Ruin, who went to CU, was also a great kicker and a great punter. And so we've been fortunate. Plus being a mile high when we play here, it's helpful, and so that's always a big part of it. And that's why we can't get enough credit to Matt as well as Britton this year.
Coach McCoy and Tim Tebow both talked last week about how they want to end these series kicking the ball, be it an extra point, be it a field goal or a punt. The punt, hands down, beats turnover. That's how important this is. That's coming from Coach Fox all the way down. That confidence, Britton talked about this yesterday, that Coach McCoy in the offense has that kind of confidence in Britton, in the Gunners, in guys like Matt Willis. That goes a long way, and it's all promoting what we've heard guys talk about after a lot of these wins. These are team wins. How much is this going to help in that locker room heading into December?
Well, it's always helpful, and I think that with the confidence that we're playing with and playing well on all three phases, and as we talked about, the key thing is we're Mike and the offensive staff are working tremendously hard to try to eliminate the three and outs, and we'll do that continue to work on that. Obviously, that as well as third down is something that's third down that they've been working on and continue to work at it, and I know it's a point of emphasis for the offensive staff, and so they're working hard to try to get it remedied.
Good questions. Thanks for sending those in, guys. We got one more segment left. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com.
Sets and throws, pass going to be intercepted. Mario Hagan to the 10, Hagan to the 5, going to get to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver!
High formation, hand off to McGahee. Patient running through the middle, makes him tackle and miss 15-10. Steps out of another tackle, inside the 5,
leans to the pylon, touchdown Denver.
Coach Fox has a relaxing attitude. He keeps the players relaxed. He keeps the atmosphere relaxed. He trusts his players. He gives you the vote of confidence sometimes when you're down. And I think he does a great job of just adjusting things to the personnel that he has. You have to take your hat off to him. He's come in and changed around from a 3-4 to 4-3, some type of spread offense, different quarterback, different personnel, and he, somehow he's made it blend and gotten guys to go to work for him every day.
You know, as I said before, I think when I first took the job, you try to put together a great staff. It's not one guy that does it. You know, I think we do have an excellent staff. They've done a tremendous job. You know, and people live up or down to expectations. We expect a lot. And, you know, more the philosophy of you work with us, not for us. And, you know, I've found that's worked, I know, for us.
Once again, 850 KOA on the call. You also heard from Mario Hagan and head coach John Fox. Let's talk about December. Let's talk about the next game, John. The Bears come to town. Eric Thomas is wondering, how tough is it to prep for a quarterback who hasn't played much? Caleb Haney, not a lot of film to watch on Caleb, but some of the film that's out there, he did a pretty good job when he filled in last year in the NFC Championship game.
Well, I mean, the defense staff, they'll have the last 2 weeks to look at it, and I think that obviously, losing a guy like Jay Cutler has hurt them because he was having a great year, and so to lose him, and then also they lost Matt Forte last week, which is going to be also that's going to hurt them. But they'll have enough film to look at and get a feel for him because, for the most part, they're not going to change a whole lot. They're going to try to do the things that Caleb does the best, but for the most part, it's not going to change too much. And they've done a great job. Dennis Allen and his staff have done a great job of making adjustments during the game, and so I'm confident they'll have a pretty good plan going in.
Brian Urlacher, one of those guys that if you see highlights of him on television, you're going to stop and watch. Brian wants to know, how much of a challenge will it be to face a tough defense spearheaded by Urlacher? Don't forget about Lance Briggs, who's also playing really well.
No question, and they're a very good defense. They're very solid. They don't do a lot of different things, but a very solid defense. And a lot of times, when you see defenses that don't do a lot of different things, that means that they've got a lot of good players and they feel very comfortable within the defense that they're playing. And obviously, with the Brian Urlacher, who is a perennial All-Pro in the middle and a great leader and great instincts for the football, is a guy that we're going to have to be concerned with. Julius Peppers is playing tremendous ball on the outside, rushing the passers, and so our tackles are going to have their hands full with Julius. And so they're a very solid defensive team, and when you play those type teams, they're going to make you go along. You know, they're going to make you, they're not going to give you the big play. They're going to try to make you go 80 yards and pick up third downs and stay on the field. And so we've got our hands full, but we're confident that we'll be ready for the challenge.
Chances are, even given the relationship Peppers has with head coach John Fox, I don't think he's going to ease up at all on Sunday. He'll probably still come after the quarterback like he's used to doing.
I think you're right there. I think that Julius played for John for many years in Carolina, and he's still a great football player. So we got our hands full with him.
Here, looking at this kind of last phase of the season, Garrett Bullock wants to know, how do things kind of tighten up? What are you really thinking about when you're looking at 3 out of 4 remaining games at home? What steps is the team taking as a whole just to really stay focused, stay prepared, and be ready for, each week, this next challenge, the Bears?
Well, I think number one is when, you go into training camp, this is what you look for, is to be in position at this part of the season and be in contention for the playoffs and really kind of have your own destiny in your own hands, and that's what we do. But I think the key thing when you get here is you don't look ahead. You have to really concentrate on the Chicago Bears. We'll take it one at a time, and obviously those other games don't matter. We got to take care of our business against the Bears on Sunday, and then you just take them one at a time. So, the focus downstairs in this building is all about Chicago Bears and doing the best we can to get ready to beat them.
Yeah, and Garrett, good question. I think there's enough veterans downstairs, John, that know what happened, the significance of what happened the last few weeks, that's gotten the team back into the position that it is heading into this Sunday. Last question, Jeff's wondering, John, do you find yourself scoreboard watching at all at this point in the season to kind of see what other AFC West and other potential AFC wild cards are doing? Do you ever Do you ever look at that yourself? I know players won't, but do you ever do that now?
Well, I think that it's human nature to see how everyone else is doing. And so especially within the division and especially with the Raiders, with who we're tied with now, I think that you know, obviously, you know, it's human nature to do that, but that can't take away from our focus. It's easier for me in the position I am to be able to do that. But I think that the staff as well as the football team, they'll be watching to see what happens, but they know that that's not going to have anything to do with what we need to do. And so we just need to go out there and take it a play at a time and you know, beat the Chicago Bears.
Jeff, Brian, Eric, all great questions. And thanks to everyone for sending your questions in for this week's program. John, thank you for your time. I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live. If you ever miss any of the Elway Live podcasts, just visit denverbroncos.com/Elway Live. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back next week with another show.